Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. If you haven't already done so, we'd like to encourage you to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on down the row for your neighbors to sign. If you're a first-time visitor with us this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking hands. If you would drop by and let us know this is your first time here, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Since tomorrow is the Labor Day holiday, the office will be closed. Remember that choir practice resumes on Wednesday, September 11th at 7 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. And please read through the information in the bulletin announcement page to learn more about the shepherding teams, upcoming Christian Women's Fellowship events, and of course the Festival of Sharing. I'm going to give a little round of thanks to Nanette Kraus for serving as our organist today while Lenora is out. Thank you, Nanette, for being here this morning. Nanette has been with us a number of times, and at this point, she's family here, so welcome. Also, a reminder that next Sunday, right after this service, there'll be a potluck lunch. Please bring a dish to share. This will be hosted by the Pathways class, who will be handling the setup and cleanup. That's, again, next Sunday, right after this service. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will sing with joy because of you. I will sing praise to you, Almighty God. Let us sing hymn number 90, all stanzas. Christians join to sing Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ we bring Alleluia, Amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise we with grateful choice. Alleluia, Amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, Amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia, Amen. Christ is our guide and friend, on whom we can depend. His love shall never end. Alleluia, Amen. Praise yet our Christ again. Alleluia, Amen. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia, Amen. On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness will adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia, Amen.
Thanks to Julian Hernandez for being our acolyte this morning. Thank you, Julian. May we be on a moment of prayer. Merciful and loving God, as we journey forward toward the end of the summer season, we pause for a day to recognize the workers among us. We acknowledge that we must all contribute to the greater good of our neighbors within our communities, and that our very own well-being requires the contributions of many others, those who are very visible as well as those who are mostly unseen but still valued and required for our community to function as a whole. Gracious God, we give thanks for the privilege to worship together as a community of workers dedicated to the well-being of your kingdom here on earth and to bring all glory to you, our Creator. We seek now the presence of the Holy Spirit as we begin our worship service together. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I only had four this morning. Look how many are here. How many do you think are here?
Nine.
Eight? Did you count them?
No,
there's more than eight.
Nine?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see you. So I'm going to be talking with you the month of September, and we're going to be talking about the crop walk. That is a walk that I wanted to tell everybody about. It's coming up in October, and I wanted to give everybody a little bit of background, because we have a lot of people here that have walked in the crop walk, and some people that have given, and some people that have no idea what it is. And the crop walk is 50 years old. And I'll bet you didn't know that. 50 years old. They call it the granddaddy walk because it's been here for so long, and it's actually started with a couple people that were interested in helping people that didn't have anything, that didn't have enough water across the country, that didn't have enough food, even here in Kansas City, and they wanted to do something for. So what they did was they created this crop walk, and all of a sudden, There are hundreds and thousands of walks across the United States. 20% stays here in Kansas City. The rest goes across the country to help people with water, seeds, just to help people get cleaner things. And one of the things that I bet you don't think about is how much water you use every day. So I have some numbers for you to think about. So in Canada, each person, an average, uses 209 gallons, like a milk jug, big milk jug, a day. In the United States, each person, 176 gallons a day. Now here's where it comes in, why we need to be helpful. In Kenya, in Africa, 13 gallons a day. That's it. Honduras, 9. And Mozambique, 3. 3 gallons for the whole entire day. And what they do is, most people walk 3.5 miles just to get water and carry it all the way back to their homes. And that would be about 300 times walking around this sanctuary to get water. We have water out in the hallway. We have a fountain. We have water downstairs, water upstairs. And how much water do we waste at home? I'll bet when you have a glass of water and you're done with it, or a bottle of water, you throw it in the sink. And I'll bet you don't put it in the plants or the dog dish. I bet you throw it away. When I went to Peru, I learned the value of saving water. We couldn't drink the water over there when I went on my mission trip. And so to drink water, we had a water bottle, we stuck our toothbrush in it, we brushed our teeth, then we spit in the sink, we took our water bottle to rinse it down the sink, we rinsed our mouth, and we rinsed our toothbrush out. And that was it. You didn't ask for ice cubes. They just don't, you don't waste water in another country. We are very wasteful here. So one of the things that I'll be talking about over the next few weeks is how much water that we have here and how much our money helps to pay for water in another country as well as here in the United States. So I want you to think about that when you go home, like how much water do you waste? Do you have the water faucet running when you brush your teeth? Or when you rinse a dish? Or when you like turn the hose on outside, that's a lot of water when you start watering plants and things. People don't even have plants. They're happy to have water. They go down to the river. And here's another thing to think about. They have water that is not clean. Some of the money for Crop Walk uses to filter the water. So if you think about 80% of people that are sick across the world are sick because they have bad water. They can't wash their hands before they eat. They can't wash their hands after they go potty. Ugh. Over and over and over and over. And they carry these germs and prepare their food, and it starts all over again. And they get sick. And they just get sick over and over and over. And they don't live real long because they don't have wells and they don't have clean water and filters. So just something to think about when you're using water. And I hope you join us. The walk is October 13th at 2 p.m. on a Sunday. And anybody can come. Anybody can come in the church, friends, businesses, children, babies, dogs. Anybody can come. Yeah, you can walk your dog if it's cool enough. So, and if you're not able to walk, of course, we've got lots of resources that people can give. And we've had people even do rockathons, like rock in a rocking chair, and raise money that way. So there's all kinds of things that we can do to help. So I want you to think about that. So thank you, and I'll tell you some more and have some activities for you in the next couple of weeks, okay? All right, you can go back to your seats.
Thank you, Jill. As we go to God in prayer today, we certainly are mindful of folks on the southeast coast that may be facing the hurricane coming through today and tomorrow. And we want to also remember the folks in Midland and Odessa out in West Texas, as 5 people have lost their lives and 21 are injured as a result of another mass shooting. We continue to also remember Rayana Ralston, the daughter of Ruth Ann Solomon, as her health concerns continue to be very problematic for her. In Ted Ferris's family, we remember Ted's son, Terry, as he's anticipating knee surgery. As we also remember, Ted's daughter-in-law, Cheryl, the wife of son Chris, as she's anticipating a third hip surgery. So please remember both of them. We also remember Erica Miller's cousin, Michael Wells, as he is in the final stages of dealing with cancer, has three young children and a wife, a firefighter here in the vicinity, and have been a long battle with concerns for cancer, and yet he's in his late 30s. We lift up Russell Stewart's mother, Dolores, as she continues to be hospitalized. We also remember Michelle Jacobo and certainly many others in our midst. And personally, we're delighted to report that Jonathan is not only out of Afghanistan, but he is now on his way here to Kansas City, should be here this afternoon, on his way finally getting back to his home base in Colorado Springs. So we are glad that he is out of harm's way. So may we be in the spirit of prayer. Loving God, we are grateful for the privilege to once again assemble for worship and offer praise to your holy name. On this Labor Day weekend, for those who are able, we also give thanks for the opportunity to pause from our daily task, to spend time with family and friends as we contemplate the benefits of our labors. May we also, O God, as Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 reminds us, commit our work unto you, for in doing so our plans will be established. And may we also be reminded that you always wish to sustain all your children in bountiful and beneficial ways through the labors of one and all. For as Psalm 54, verse 4 declares, surely God is our help. The Lord is the one who sustains us. And as each of us go about our daily labors, realizing that we often may be endeavoring under challenging circumstances and at times with complicated people and policies, may we always strive to pursue our endeavors as if we are first and foremost working for your glory. For as Paul reminds us in Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Thus, we offer this prayer in thanksgiving and praise this Labor Day Sunday, as we also remember the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Kathy, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is from John chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. It's in your Pew Bible, page 971. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water.
closer, close to your heart. May I be a pure reflection of all you are. Love that is patient, love that is kind, love that keeps no offenses or wrongs in mind. Make me like Jesus. Make me like Jesus. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I am open. I am open. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I am open. I am open. You're faithful to find me right where I am. Even in my wandering, you call me friend. Mercy receives me and lifts me to my feet. And I'm caught up in the wonder and mystery of knowing Jesus, of knowing Jesus. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I am open. I am open. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I am open. I am open. Do whatever you want to do. Say whatever you want to say, and move however you want to move, and change whatever you want to change. Do whatever you want to do. Say, move however you want to move, and change whatever you want to change. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I am open. I am open. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I am open. I am open. I am open. I am open. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I am open. I am open.
For the Passover and then for the Lord's Supper, food products that are the result of human labor and also help sustain life, the bread and the cup, were chosen to represent God's desire to sustain humanity first through the freedom from bondage, and then freedom from sin and even death itself. Thus, on this Labor Day Sunday, as we partake in the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper, we are thankful for the blessings given as the fruits of our labor, as we also give thanks for the tireless labors of our Lord Jesus as he became that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sin. As Psalm 128, verse 2 reminds us, "You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you." Our communion hymn this morning, number 330, as we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of "Alleluia, Hear God's Story."
Alleluia, hear God's story still unfolding with each dawn. Taste the wine and body broken, God's creative love lives on. Who the neighbor, who the hungry, who is thirsty for shalom? God of journey, in your story, lead us with the neighbor home. Alleluia, dance the story, every sin you now engage. Tethered close in truthful worship, boldly face the coming age. Who the neighbor, who the watchful, who will welcome life's embrace? God of gospel, tell the story through our dancing of your grace.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Kathy leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our presence in and purpose for our lives. As we partake from this communion table, may the Holy Spirit unite us, mind, heart, and spirit, in Christian love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. on this weekend set aside to contemplate the offering of one's labor for the benefit of oneself and others, we remember that Christ first offered his entire being for the forgiveness of our sins. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 tells us, Christ offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is effective forever. And then he sat down at the right side of God. It is in thanksgiving, therefore, for what Christ has already done for us that we offer back a portion of our resources for God's purposes here on earth. Michelle offers up a word of prayer for us as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we remember now to thank you for all that we are and all that we have. May our sharing with others embody the generosity made possible for us by the giver of the original gift. Please bless these emblems and the givers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. I want to lift up before we begin that next Sunday, we're looking forward to the service of baptism for Lori and Michelle and for Paige. That'll be at the 11 o'clock service next week. As we begin the service. So we're certainly looking forward to that. It'll be a wonderful occasion. Praise God. Looking forward to that. Thank you. We don't know her name. She was a Samaritan woman of such ill repute that she made sure that she arrived at Jacob's well at a time when no one else would be there. And no one would be there to shun her. Yet Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well reminds us of the genuine work of friendship. May we pray. Gracious and holy God, it truly is our privilege to once again be in your house and to know that we are empowered by the guidance of your Holy Spirit as we journey forward day to day. We seek your presence today and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jesus and his disciples were traveling from the southern kingdom of Judah, making their way back up to the northern kingdom of Galilee, which of course was their home base. For the Jewish people, it was a six-day trip because they would skirt over to the eastern side of the Jordan River, work their way up, and then they would come on back and go a little bit further to the west before they headed up north. There was, however, a shorter route, a more direct, straight route, right through Samaria. And if you went that way, it only took 3 days instead of six. However, that route was forbidden by any self-respecting Jewish person. Because although the Samaritans were distant cousins in the faith, and the view of the Jewish folks, they had fallen from grace and therefore were to be ignored. It all happened in about 720 BC when the Assyrians came down and took over the northern tribes of Israel. They took thousands of Jewish people from the northern 10 tribes back to Assyria to be their slaves and their servants, while hordes of foreigners then made themselves at home in this middle portion of the land of Palestine. The small remnant of people that were left in this middle section began to marry the foreigners, and they adopted many pagan customs that they also blended in with their Jewish faith. This mix of people became known as the Samaritans. And as the centuries passed, bitter strife evolved between the Samaritans and the Jewish folks to the south. Neither would have anything to do with the other. Jesus, however, realizing the hypocrisy of both rival sides, likely saw the Samaritans as redeemable cousins, if you will. And thus, he saw nothing wrong with going straight right through the area of the Samaritans on his way to Galilee. After all, if you can cut 3 days off your trip, why not? Jacob's well was at the very southern portion of Samaria. And so Jesus and the disciples ran across Jacob's well very early. And not very far from the well was the community of Sychar. John chapter 4, verse 6 tells us that it was about noon when Jesus and his disciples arrived. Jesus sent his disciples into Sychar to buy some food. You have to understand, for Jewish men and women to go into a Samaritan town and buy stuff, that was like, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding. We can't do that. But by now, they had learned enough about Jesus and knew that he kind of bent the rules enough that they were willing to do that. After all, I bet they were a little bit hungry and there was no McDonald's around. Right? Jacob's well was sacred space for both the Samaritans and the Jews, for the land surrounding that well had been purchased by Jacob hundreds of years previous. It was their first foothold in the land of Palestine. Jacob willed the land to his son Joseph. And even though, of course, you know, Joseph ended up dying out in Egypt, his ancestors brought Joseph's bones back and were buried on the property, if you will. That just goes to show you how significant of a piece of land this was in Jewish heritage. However, by the time we get to Jesus' time period, this whole vicinity of Jacob's well and the land would have been off limits for good Jewish folks. Why? Because it was in Samaritan territory. Jacob's well had likely been dug during Jacob's time, about 7.5 feet wide, about 135 feet deep. I just can't imagine what it was like to dig wells back then. What do you do for a living? I dig wells. That means you dig a hole into the ground with little light and hang it on a rope and wondering if this stuff is going to cave in on you while you're digging. But interestingly enough, at 135 feet, the water there hits a spring. It's still today, to this very day, a fresh supply of cool water in a very warm place. And today the well lies inside the basement of an Eastern Orthodox monastery in the city of Nablus in the West Bank. So this well still works all these centuries later. That's quite remarkable, isn't it? But in Jesus' day, the well was at street level, and Jesus rested there while he was indeed weary after traveling by foot from Jerusalem. While he was resting, a Samaritan woman arrived with, likely, her rope and pitcher to pull water from the well. It's an odd time for a Samaritan woman to be at the well, because that was normally morning duty while it's cooler in the day. And it also gave the women of the community an opportunity to gather and catch up on the news. You know, gossip, right? But notice, this time around, it's noon. This particular Samaritan woman arrives at a time in which she pretty much guaranteed that no one else is going to be there. Why? Well, the text tells you that she had been married 5 times, which meant that she had likely either been widowed or divorced 5 times. And in fact, at this particular time period, she's not even married to the woman that she's living with. She obviously lived a very difficult life, right? But what we must understand is that the women of her community likely ridiculed her, or certainly at best they ignored her for fear that either her bad luck or what they would have perceived as her immoral behavior might rub off on them. Ever known folks like that? I just don't associate with those people. Why? Like, as if they're afraid that somehow it's just going to rub off on them. Does it? No. But you know how folks can be. You know, I'm going to have nothing to do with those folks. And imagine the level of isolation that this woman lived under in Samaria. Jesus notices the woman approaching. And as he sees that she has the means, he asks for what? A drink of water. The outcast Samaritan woman was profoundly surprised, for she would have noticed from Jesus' clothing that not only was he a Jew, but obviously he was a traveling rabbi. And so she says in verse 9, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. So how is it that you can ask me for a drink?" After all, not only were these two groups of folks not supposed to associate one another, but the Jewish folks had rules that you could not even touch, much less use, a cup or a plate or utensil that had been used by a Samaritan, for that would be to make it unclean. Oh my, boy, that sure is a lot of crazy rules to live under, isn't it? But that was the law of the land of the day. So this woman is quite surprised that Jesus even goes to the trouble to ask her for a drink from her pitcher. Jesus persisted, however, in engaging in a conversation with her. And in fact, what you have to understand is so remarkable is that the volume of text that John the Apostle uses to describe this story is quite extensive, in a time period when writing was a very laborious task, and you tried to use as much shorthand as you can. Here, this entire chapter is devoted to this, the details of this story. Another thing that is also quite remarkable that often gets left by our Western way of thinking is that the outcast Samaritan woman is the very first person in Scripture that Jesus proclaims the very fact that he is the Messiah. You see how remarkable that is? Because this was not a fellow Jew that Jesus was saying, I am the Messiah. This is a Samaritan who happens to be a woman, who happens to be a Samaritan woman who is a terrible outcast in her own society. And yet to her, our Lord says, I am. I am the Messiah. I'm the one you all have been looking for as much as the Jews have. So touched is she by the compassionate side that Jesus offers, that she's so excited, the text tells you that she leaves the pitcher there, which, by the way, that would have been a very important item. And she goes into town, into Sychar, tells what few friends she probably had, hey, guess who I've seen? I really believe this man must be the Messiah. They bring him back to Jesus. And the community of folks there, they encourage Jesus and the disciples to stay for 2 full days. Now you have to understand, a lot of Samaritan communities would have had nothing to do with Jews passing through their territory and probably would not even allow them to buy food from them, much less stay the night. And yet these people said, please stay with us. And Jesus and the disciples stayed 2 full days, even though they're trying to get to Galilee. You see how remarkable the story is in that context? What I want to lift up to you on this Labor Day weekend that I think is so remarkable is how Jesus worked at friendship. He could so easily have just simply stepped away from the well as the woman approached, and he could have just, you know, looked up in the sky and whistled a little bit and just ignored the whole scene while she went ahead and got her water and then left and got on about her task. That would have been the typical Jewish response. But Jesus chooses to work at creating friendship. Back in Texas, many of you know that I went back to the church I served before coming here to conduct the service for my dear friend Jim Stewart. The sanctuary there was absolutely full, and there were people even standing in the back. But what surprised me was the number of people that I met as first as they came in the door, but as they started filling up the sanctuary, the number of people I did not know. Many flew from the east and west coast. In the state alone, some flew in or drove in from Abilene, Fort Worth, Lubbock, La Mesa, Houston, Austin, and other cities I'm not even aware of. And as I had been conversing with so many of these people, not only that day, but in the days prior to the service, there was one major common denominator that we discovered we all shared. And so in the midst of my presentation, I asked, in your lifetimes of friendship with Jim Stewart, how many of you have received at least one, if not, in fact, dozens of handwritten note cards from Jim Stewart? People started raising their hands. I looked across all of the audience, and I looked hard and long. I could not find a single person's hand that was not raised. Wow. I had learned that the idea of writing handwritten notes with a fountain pen, by the way, not just an ink roller pen, a fountain pen still, that it was such a commitment for Jim that he wrote a tassel of cards each and every day. Every day. His calendar was loaded up with anniversaries and birthdays of friends he had known for 50 plus years. And of course, when Christmas came around, I knew at Christmas he wrote a bazillion Christmas cards. And of course, other major holidays, and even like Memorial Day and Veterans Day, people like myself and Carrie who were in the service, he would send us cards for those days. It was just astounding. What we realized is that Jim worked. He worked at friendship. And that was just one of the most remarkable symbols of that effort. So what do we learn about Jesus and the Samaritan woman? We all need to work a little harder at initiating. And I think even from Jim, we learn the art of maintaining what? Friendships, even for life, right? But if we do that, life can be so much richer for one and all, can it not be? It certainly was for the Samaritan woman and her friends who indeed discovered that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And how can it also be for each of us? As we work at friendship, we can make life so much richer for one another. As the scriptures tell us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though you are working for the Lord and not for men. And so I ask you, do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is the day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 585. What a friend we have in Jesus. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, 585. May we stand, please.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. We wish you the very best as you journey through the remainder of this Labor Day weekend. May we pray. Merciful God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to indeed be friends to one and all. Guide us in that journey as we know you have chosen to be friends with all of us as your children. For this we are indeed grateful as we depart. Amen.
To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things you have done. With his blood, Christ has saved me. With your power, you have raised me. To God be the glory for the things you have done.
To God be the glory for the things you have done. With his blood, Christ has saved me. With your power, you have raised me. To God be the glory for the things you have done.